This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Michael Bressler with the second hour of the Saturday, February 10th, 2024 Cincinnati Inquirer for CABVI's Radio Reading Service. In this broadcast, we'll cover today's TV listings, the obituaries, the horoscopes, the etc. section with People News, What to Watch, celebrity birthdays, some Carolyn Hack's advice, and then on to nation and world news through the remainder of the hour. So let's get started with today's TV listings. WLWT NBC Channel 5 at noon is Earth Odyssey. At 12:30 is English Premier League Soccer, Newcastle United at Nottingham Forest. And that takes us to 2:30 for the Premier League Soccer postgame. At 3 p.m. is PGA Tour Golf, the 2024 William Phoenix Open, round 3. At 6 p.m. then is WLWT News 5 at 6. At 7 p.m. is NBC Nightly News. 7:30 is Let's Talk Cincy. At 8 p.m. is The Wall. At 9 p.m. is Weakest Link. At 10 p.m. is Saturday Night Live. At 11 p.m. is WLWT News 5 at 11. And at 11:30 is Saturday Night Live. WCPO ABC Channel 9 at noon is a paid program, followed by To Be Announced at 12:30. At 1 p.m. is NHL Hockey, the St. Louis Blues at Buffalo Sabres, which takes us to 3:30, where we have another hockey game, the Washington Capitals at Boston Bruins, which takes us to 6 p.m. for the WCPO 9 News at 6. At 6:30 is ABC World News Tonight. At 7 p.m. is a paid program. 7:30 is Cash Explosion. At 8 p.m. is NBA Countdown. At 8:30 is NBA Basketball Phoenix Suns at the Golden State Warriors, which takes us to 11 p.m. for the WCPO 9 News at 11. And then Fast Home Rescue at 11:30. WKRC CBS Channel 12 at noon is NFL Films Super Bowl 58 Countdown Show. At 1 p.m. is That Other Pregame Show. At 2 p.m. is College Basketball, Illinois Fighting Illini at Michigan State. Which takes us to 4 p.m. for College Basketball, Gonzaga Bulldog at Kentucky Wildcats. Which takes us to 6 p.m. for the news. At 6:30 is CBS Weekend News. At 7 p.m. is Cancer Breakthroughs with Gail Hogan. At 8 p.m. is Super Bowl Soulful Celebration 25th Anniversary. At 9 p.m. is 48 Hours. At 10 p.m. is another episode of 48 Hours. At 11 p.m. is Local 12 News at 11. And at 11:30 is Full Measure. The CINCW Channel 12.2 at noon is Small. At 12:30 is LIV Golf in Las Vegas, which takes us clear up to 6 p.m. tonight for College Basketball Live, which I guess is a pregame show. And then at 8:15 is College Basketball Virginia versus Florida State. And then at 10 p.m. is 2.5 Men. At 10:30 is Last Man Standing. At 11 p.m. is Seinfeld. And at 11:30 is The Neighborhood. WXIX Fox Channel 19 at noon is the Hoops Tip-Off. At 12:30 is College Basketball, Creighton Blue Jays at Xavier Musketeers, which takes us to 2:30 for Fox Extra, which I'm assuming is a pregame show. At 3 p.m. is Women's College Basketball, Villanova Wildcats at Marquette Golden Eagles. At 5 p.m. is Fox Extra, which I guess is another pregame. And then at 5:30 is College Basketball, UCLA Bruins at California Golden Bears, which takes us to 7:30 for Fox Extra. And then at 8 p.m. is College Basketball, Indiana Hoosiers at Purdue Boilermakers. And at 10 p.m. is Fox 19 Now at 10 p.m. And at 11 p.m. is The Floor. WKRP Channel 25 at noon is Acercate a Rocio. At 1 p.m. is Un Equipo. At 1:30 is Explora. At 2 p.m. is Viajero. At 2:30 is another episode of Viajero. At 3 p.m. is a 2008 movie, Babylon A.D., which takes us to 5 p.m. for Caso Cerrado. At 5:30 is Noticias. At 6 p.m. is Football Liga MX. And that takes us to 8 p.m. for a 2002 movie, Made in Manhattan. And at which takes us to 10 p.m. for The Proposal, a 2009 movie, which takes us through the end of the day. Sorry. WCET PBS Channel 48 at noon is Motor Week. At 12:30 is Milk Street Television. At 1 p.m. is To Dine For. At 1:30 is Patty's Mexican Table. At 2 p.m. is America's Test Kitchen. At 2:30 is Cook's Country. At 3 p.m. is Dookie Chase Kitchen, Leah. At 3:30 is Beyond Survival. At 4 p.m. is This Old House. At 4:30 is Ask This Old House. 5 p.m. is Rick Steves Europe. At 5:30 is PBS News Weekend. At 6 p.m. is The Art Show. At 6:30 is Barbara Keller. At 7 p.m. is Celebrity Antiques Road Trip. At 8 p.m. is Great Estates of Scotland. At 9 p.m. is What to Do When Someone Dies. At 10 p.m. is Broadchurch. And at 11 is Austin City Limits featuring Noah Cahan. Minet, Channel 64, at noon is The First 48. At 1 p.m. is Chicago PD. At 2 p.m. is F2, The Forensic Factor. At 3 p.m. is Chicago PD. At 4 p.m. is 911. At 5 p.m. is Weather. At 5:30 is More Weather. At 6 p.m. is Family Feud. At 6:30 is More Family Feud. At 7 p.m. is Big Bang Theory. At 7:30 is another episode of The Big Bang Theory. At 8 p.m. is Young Sheldon. At 8:30 is Young Sheldon. At 9 p.m. is Major Crimes. At 10 p.m. is Local 12 News at 10. At 10:30 is Women of Wrestling. And at 11:30 is Chicago PD. NBC Channel 2 at noon is Wild Child. At 12:30 is English Premier League Soccer, Newcastle United at Nottingham Forest, which takes us to 2:30 for English Premier League Soccer postgame. At 3 p.m. is the PGA Tour Golf, the 2024 William Phoenix Open Round 3, which takes us to 6 p.m. for the news. 6:30 is More News. At 7 p.m. is Inside Edition. 7:30 is Jeopardy. At 8 p.m. is The Wall. At 9 p.m. is Weakest Link. At 10 p.m. is Saturday Night Live. At 11 p.m. is The News. And at 11:30 is Saturday Night Live. CBS Channel 7 at noon is the NFL film Super Bowl 58 countdown show. At 1 p.m. is that other pregame show. At 2 p.m. is college basketball, Illinois versus Michigan State. At 4 p.m. is more college basketball, Gonzaga versus Kentucky. At 6 p.m. is the news. At 6:30 is news. At 7 p.m. is Wheel of Fortune. At 7:30 p.m. is the Ohio Lottery. At 8 p.m. is the Super Bowl Soulful Celebration 25th Anniversary. At 9 p.m. is 48 Hours. At 10 p.m. is another episode of 48 Hours. At 11 p.m. is the news. And at 11:35 is Beat the Clock. PBS Channel 14 at noon is Belton's. At 12:30 is Stephen Raiklin. At 1 p.m. is Painting. At 1:30 is Paint. At 2 p.m. is Rick Steves Europe. At 2:30 is Brown. At 3 p.m. is Earth's Great Seasons. At 4 p.m. is Nova. It's about whales. At 5 p.m. is Nature, Gorillas. At 6 p.m. is Classic Gospel. At 7 p.m. is Song of the Mountain. At 8 p.m. is a movie to be announced. At 10 p.m. then is Live from the Artist's Den. And at 11 p.m. is Real South, R-E-E-L, Real. PBS Channel 16 at noon is Martha Bakes. At 12:30 is Cooking. At 1 p.m. is America's Test Kitchen. At 1:30 is Cook's Country. At 2 p.m. is Simply Ming. At 2:30 is Milk Street Television. At 3 p.m. is Greener. At 3:30 is P. Alan Smith's Garden Home. At 4:30 is Heartland. At 5 p.m. is Escape to the Chateau. At 6 p.m. is PBS News. 6:30 is Rick Steves Europe. At 7 p.m. is The Lawrence Welk Show. At 8 p.m. is Waiting. At 8:30 is To the Manor Born. At 9 p.m. is Shetland. 10 p.m. is To Be Announced. 11 p.m. is Barnegie Hall, and at 11:30 is Bluegrass. ABC Channel 22 at noon is a paid program. At 12:30 is a paid program. At 1 p.m. is NHL Hockey St. Louis at Buffalo, which takes us to 3:30 for another NHL hockey game, Washington at Boston, which takes us to 6 p.m. for the news. 6:30 is more news. 7 p.m. is Judge Judy. 7:30 is another episode of Judge Judy. At 8 p.m. is NBA Countdown. At 8:30 is NBA Basketball, Phoenix Suns at Golden State Warriors. At 11 p.m. is the news. And at 11:30 is Full Measure. Fox 22.2 at noon is Tip Off Live. At 12:30 is college basketball, Creighton versus Xavier. At 2:30 is Fox Tip Off Live. That followed at 3 p.m. by women's college basketball, Villanova versus Marquette. At 5 p.m. is Fox Live pregame. More college basketball at 5:30, UCLA versus California. Another episode of Fox pregame. And then college basketball at 8 p.m., Indiana versus Purdue, which takes us to 10 p.m. for the news. 10:30 is Last Man Standing, and at 11 p.m. is The Floor. CW Channel 26 at noon is Friends. At 12:30 is LIV Golf in Las Vegas, which takes up the entire day to 6 p.m. for College Basketball Live, which takes us to 8:15 tonight for college basketball, Virginia versus Florida State. And then at 10 p.m. is the news, followed by Young Sheldon at 10:30, and then Family Guy at 11 p.m. and Family Guy at 11:30. ION Television, Channel 43, is the Saturday Law and Order SVU binge watch. It starts at noon with a new episode starting every hour on the hour until 11 p.m. tonight. PBS Channel 54 at noon is Garden Smart. At 12:30 is EchoSense. At 1 p.m. is Rick Steves Europe. At 1:30 is Brown. At 2 p.m. is Travel Scope. At 2:30 is Stephen Raiklin. At 3 p.m. is Lydia's Kitchen. At 3:30 is The Farmer. At 4 p.m. is America's Test Kitchen. At 4:30 is Cook's Country. At 5 p.m. is The Lawrence Welk Show. At 6 p.m. is The Antiques Roadshow. At 7 p.m. is Tim Farmer. At 7:30 is Red Green. At 8 p.m. is Kentucky Life. At 8:30 is Kentucky. At 9 p.m. is a 1967 movie, In the Heat of the Night, followed at 11 p.m. by Austin City Limits, presenting Noah Cahan. Now, on to today's obituaries. Burling, Janet E. Burling, aged 90, death date February 6th, arrangements at the Frederick Funeral Home. The service is February 12th at noon at the Frederick Funeral Home. Hunter, Angela Ann Hunter, age 94, from Cincinnati, Ohio. Death date, January 31st. Arrangements at the Road Funeral Home. No service time given. Jasper, Carol Jasper. No age or town or death date given. The arrangements at the Hodat Funeral Home. No service time given. Sabo, Leslie J. Sabo. Age 92, Cincinnati, Ohio. Death date January 28th. Arrangements at B.J. Meyer & Sons Funeral Home. Service time is today at 11 a.m. at the St. Simon the Apostle Church. Shockley, Julie Frances Shockley, aged 81, Forest Park, Ohio. Death date February 3rd. Arrangements at Voorhees and Ryan. Service time February 12th at 10 at Our Lady of the Rosary Church. And finally, Vaughn, Billy J. Vaughn, aged 82, from Loveland, Ohio. Death date February 6th. The arrangements are at Tufts Schildmeyer in Loveland. The service time is February the 11th at 1 p.m. at Tufts Schildmeyer Funeral Home. Now for today's horoscopes. From Sanctuary, Aries, March 21st to April 19th. Energized and inspired, reach out to your network to set a plan in motion. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. Today's Aquarius new moon bestows career freedom and flexibility. Go make a name for yourself. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Stepping into the unknown, the Aquarius new moon supports your leap of faith. Set intentions for self-discovery. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. You know what they say, when one door closes, another door opens. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Who are you teaming up with? The Aquarius new moon kicks off a new and unconventional alliance. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Creating a new game plan? Under the Aquarius new moon, getting organized doesn't mean doing things by the book. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. Looking for a different kind of love? The Aquarius new moon is an ideal time to call it in. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. Seeking help from chosen family? Under the Aquarius moon, set intentions for cultivating a healthier work-home balance. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Under the Aquarius moon, you're drawn to bizarre and unusual ideas. Feed your curiosity. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Shoring up self-confidence? The Aquarius new moon revitalizes feelings of self-worth. Activate abundance by investing in your niche interests. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Ready for a costume change? Use today's Aquarius new moon to reinvent the wheel or yourself. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Starting something new behind the scenes? Today's Aquarius new moon is the perfect time to prep a vision board. Now, on to the etc. section and some people news. Last surviving original member of the Spinners dies at 85. Henry Fambro, the last surviving original member of the iconic R&B group, The Spinners, whose hits included It's a Shame, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love, and The Rubber Band Man, died Wednesday, a spokesperson for the group said. He was 85. Fambro died peacefully of natural causes in his Northern Virginia home, a spokesperson said in a statement. The group was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in November. Along with Fambro, Billy Henderson, Purvis Jackson, Bobby Smith, Philippe Wynn, and John Edwards were listed as inductees. Last May, Fambro took a tour of Motown Studio A in Detroit as part of a ceremony that included the donation of the Motown Museum of 375 outfits worn by the group at concerts. Japanese fans excited to see Swift in Tokyo after the Grammy win. Some Taylor Swift fans in Tokyo spent thousands of dollars to attend the pop superstar's first performance Wednesday after her latest Grammy win and the announcement of a new album. After not seeing her idol in concert for 5 years, Chiyuki Fuji bought 6 VIP tickets, including one for each of Swift's 4 nights in Tokyo, paying a total of 780,000 yen, or $5,270. Fuji said it was worth every yen, especially after Swift won her 14th Grammy, including her record-breaking 4th Album of the Year award for Midnights on Sunday. Fans have been watching to see whether the singer will finish the Japan part of her Eras tour in time to attend the Super Bowl on Sunday to see her partner and football star Travis Kelce play in Las Vegas. Moana 2 is coming to theaters for a Thanksgiving release. Moana and Maui are sailing back to the big screen very quickly. Moana 2 is coming to theaters in November, Walt Disney Company CEO Bob Iger said Wednesday. Originally planned as a television series, the movie finds Moana journeying on a dangerous mission to the far seas of Oceania after getting a call from her ancestors. Now, for celebrity birthdays, rather, for February the 10th. Actor Janet Sussman is 85. Actor-turned-politician Sheila James Keel, the many loves of Dobie Gillis, is 83. Singer Carole King is 82. Singer Barbara Lewis is 81. Actor Joe Pesci is 81. Author Alice Walker, The Color Purple, is 80. Actor Mia Farrow is 79. Singer Joe Ely is 77. Actor Judith Light, Who's the Boss, is 75. Actor Charles Shaughnessy, The Nanny, is 69. Actor Ed Amatrudo, TV's Nashville, is 68. Jazz saxophonist Steve Wilson is 63. Country singer Travis Tritt is 61. Actor Julie Warner, Nip Tuck, and Family Law, is 59. Actor Sharon Case, The Young and the Restless, is 53. Actor Jason George, Grey's Anatomy, is 52. Actor Amber Valletta, Revenge, is 50. Actor Charlie Day, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is 48. Actor A.J. Buckley, CSI New York, is 47. Guitarist Richard Aun of OAR is 45. Actor Tom Hiddleston, The Avengers, is 43. Actor David Gallagher, Seventh Heaven, is 39. Actor Michael B. Jordan is 37. Actor Rose Leslie, Game of Thrones, Downton Abbey, is 37. Actor Camille Winbush, The Bernie Mac Show, is 34. Actor Jimmy Bennett, No Ordinary Family, is 28. And actor Evan Rowe, Madam Secretary, is 24. Now for what to watch. Content by TV Weekly. Network broadcasting shows are listed in Eastern Pacific Time unless noted otherwise. Shows air 1 hour earlier in Central Mountain Time. Cable broadcasting shows are listed in Eastern Time. The Silent Service, Season 1, The Battle of Tokyo Bay. Prime Video, Original Series. This alternate history drama evolved from the first Japanese language feature film production by Amazon MGM Studios. The 8-episode series includes the story of the film version, scenes not shown in theaters, and the story afterward. Set during the Cold War, it follows the captain of a nuclear submarine, Shiro Kaeda, Takao Osawa, who declares the vessel to be the independent state of Yamato. This first season depicts Kaeda's story on a grand scale, including Yamato negotiating a military alliance with Japan and the subsequent Battle of Tokyo Bay. Upgraded, Prime Video, another original film. In this romantic comedy, Camila Mendes plays Anna, an ambitious intern dreaming of a career in the art world while trying to impress her demanding boss, Claire, Marissa Tomei. When Anna is upgraded to first class on a work trip, she meets handsome Will, Archie Renault, who mistakes Anna for her boss, a white lie that sets off a glamorous chain of events, romance, and opportunity until her fib threatens to surface. Super Bowl Greatest Commercials 2024 on CBS at 8 p.m. The annual special counting down the funniest, most memorable, and most innovative Super Bowl ads in history returns. Transplant on NBC at 8 p.m. is the season finale. Bash, Hamza Hack, returns from overseas only to find that nothing is how he left it. The series will return for season 4. Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, on Stars at 8 p.m., another season finale. The crime drama starring Mekhi Curtis, Patina Miller, and Omar Epps concludes season 3 with Made You Look. My Lottery Dream Home on HGTV at 9 p.m. As the beneficiaries of their brother's estate, a pair of siblings want to pay tribute to their desert-loving brother and buy a dream home in Palm Springs, California. Host David Bromstad is tasked to find the perfect place. Gospel Live, presented by Henry Louis Gates Jr. on PBS. Check the stations for the time. Just ahead of his four-hour docuseries about the history of gospel music, Gospel, airing Monday and Tuesday on PBS, Henry Louis Gates Jr. presents this hour-long musical celebration of the genre filmed in front of a live audience. Acclaimed gospel artist Erica Campbell guides viewers through the spirit of each era in the genre's long history with John Legend, Anthony Hamilton, and the Ton Threes, La Tocha, Molly Music, Lenya Bird Miles, Shalia, and Torrin Wells sharing specially arranged songs. The Unbelievable with Dan Aykroyd on the History Channel at 10 p.m., season finale. The first season concludes with true life tales of people who made it through the most extraordinary conditions, from free-falling 30,000 feet without a parachute to being buried alive to getting trapped in a tiny room inside a sunken ship on the ocean floor for 3 days. Okay, so now on to some advice from Carolyn Hacks in Ask Carolyn. Local bartender has brazen crush on woman's spouse. Hi, Carolyn. My husband and I have been married for a long time and have a close circle of friends that we see weekly at our local watering hole. We've gone for years and are friendly with many of the longtime bartenders as well as the owner. One bartender apparently has a thing for my husband, and she's letting everyone know. About a year ago, she DM'd one of our friends that she has loved him for a year, and he loves her. She said she doesn't want to be a homewrecker, but my husband is obviously unhappy in a toxic relationship with me. She asked for their support and to let my husband choose to love her. She confronted my husband while I was there and told him he is perfect and she knows he's unhappy. This episode really made him anxious and uncomfortable. Since then, she asks our friends about him, worried that she hasn't seen him for a while, when it's mostly because we avoid the place while she works there. 2 years on with her unrequited feelings, and she still talks about this with others every couple of months. I want my husband to say something to her, but he is not confrontational, gets easily flustered, and doesn't often stand up for himself. He worries we will poison the well and not be able to go back to this place if we say anything. I want to say something to her, but am deferring to his wish that I do not. To be clear, my husband is not into her. We have an excellent relationship, and he has no idea why she thinks this. I believe him and know he would not stray. Can I say something? Should I? Should I tell her boss? Befuddled Barfly. Dear Befuddled Barfly, there are three people here more accountable than you are. Number one is the bartender herself for having boundaries so dysfunctional they sound unhinged. Number two is your husband, who clearly is imperfect, since he could have put you all at ease with one significant but otherwise formulaic exercise of spine. I do not love you. I love my wife. Do not talk to me or contact my friends about this again. He can shake and sweat all he wants through the delivery, but delivering this message was and still is absolutely his responsibility. Number three is the owner, who will also benefit when, your husband takes his proper stand. The owner may not actually know this yet, but 2 years, friendly place, regular customers, unhinged declarations of love? I doubt anyone around this watering hole is completely in the dark. Regardless, an owner is responsible, upon receipt of this information, for reining in or firing such an under-boundaried employee. When no one at the top of the accountability chain takes responsibility, then you're stuck with it. Husband first, since that's the connection you care about most. Please draw clear lines, for me, if not for you. Owner also needs to know. Do not budge. Every couple of months may seem brush-offable, but look at its poisoning effect. Now, on to some nation and world news for September 10th. Filings for jobless benefits fall again despite layoffs, by Matt Ott for the Associated Press. The number of Americans filing for jobless claims fell last week despite more layoff announcements from high-profile companies recently. Applications for unemployment benefits fell by 9,000 to 218,000 for the week ending February 3rd, the Labor Department reported Thursday. The four-week average of claims, which evens out some of the weekly volatility, increased by 3,750 to 212,250. Weekly unemployment claims are seen as a proxy for the number of U.S. layoffs in a given week. They have remained at extraordinarily low levels despite efforts by the U.S. Federal Reserve to cool the economy. The Federal Reserve raised its benchmark rate 11 times beginning in March 2022 in an effort to bring down the four-decade high inflation that took hold after an unusually strong economic rebound from the COVID-19 recession of 2020. Though inflation has eased considerably in the past year, the Labor Department reported recently that overall prices rose 0.3% from November to December and were up 3.4% from 12 months earlier, a sign that the Fed's drive to slow inflation to its 2% target will likely remain a bumpy one. The Fed has left rates unchanged at its last four meetings. As the Fed rapidly jacked up rates in 2022, most analysts predicted that the U.S. economy would tip into recession, but the economy and the job market remained surprisingly resilient. U.S. employers delivered a stunning burst of hiring to begin 2024, adding 353,000 jobs in January, in the latest sign of the economy's continuing ability to shrug off the highest interest rates in two decades. Last month's job gain, roughly twice what economists had predicted, topped the December gain of 333,000, a figure that was revised sharply higher. The unemployment rate stayed at 3.7% and has been below 4% for 24 straight months, the longest such streak since the 1960s. Though layoffs remain at low levels, there has been an uptick in job cuts recently across technology and media. Google parent company, Alphabet, eBay, TikTok, and the Los Angeles Times have all recently announced layoffs. Just this week, Snap, which owns the social media app Snapchat, announced it was cutting 10% of its workforce. Google to launch Gemini AI app for smartphones, by Michael Ledecky for the Associated Press, Dateline San Francisco. Google on Thursday introduced a free artificial intelligence app that will implant the technology on smartphones, enabling people to quickly connect to a digital brain that can write for them and interpret what they're reading and seeing, in addition to helping manage their lives. With the advent of the Gemini app, named after an AI project unveiled late last year, Google will cast aside the Bard chatbot that it introduced a year ago in an effort to catch up with ChatGPT, the chatbot unleashed by the Microsoft-backed startup OpenAI in late 2022. Google is immediately releasing a standalone Gemini app for smartphones running on its Android software. In a few weeks, Google will put Gemini's features into its existing search app for iPhones, where Apple would prefer people rely on its Siri voice assistant for handling various tasks. Although the Google voice assistant that has been available for years will stick around, executives say they expect Gemini to become the main way users apply the technology to help them think, plan, and create. It marks Google's next foray down a new and potentially perilous avenue while remaining focused on its goal to organize the world's information and make it universally acceptable and useful. We think this is one of the most profound ways we're going to advance our mission, Sissy Hsiao, a Google general manager overseeing Gemini, told reporters ahead of Thursday's announcement. The Gemini app will be released in the U.S. in English before expanding to the Asia-Pacific region next week, with versions in Japanese and Korean. Besides the free version of Gemini, Google will be selling an advanced service accessible through the new app for $20 a month. The Mountain View, California company says it is such a sophisticated form of AI that it will be able to tutor students, provide computer programming tips to engineers, dream up ideas for projects, and then create the content for the suggestions a user likes best. The Gemini Advanced option, which will be powered by an AI technology dubbed Ultra 1.0, will seek to build upon the nearly 100 million worldwide subscribers that Google says it has attracted so far, most of whom pay $2 to $10 per month for additional storage to back up photos, documents, and other digital material. The Gemini Advanced subscription will include 2 terabytes of storage that Google currently sells for $10 per month, meaning the company believes the AI technology is worth an additional $10 per month. Google is offering a free 2-month trial of Gemini Advanced to encourage people to try it out. The rollout of the Gemini apps underscores the push to bring more AI to smartphones, devices that accompany people everywhere, as part of a trend Google began last fall when it released its latest Pixel smartphones and Samsung embraced last month with its latest Galaxy smartphones. It also is likely to escalate the high-stakes AI showdown pitting Google against Microsoft, 2 of the world's most powerful companies jockeying to get the upper hand with a technology that could reshape work, entertainment, and perhaps humanity itself. Beer giants' Super Bowl ads utilize star power. Anheuser-Busch returns to basics for the big game, by Gabe Lackus for USA Today. The king of beers is sparing no expense in its goal to reign supreme over the Super Bowl. Anheuser-Busch's trio of big brands is calling on saviors old and new to take on a particularly big lift this year. 3 years after sitting out the Super Bowl for the first time in 37 years, Budweiser once again trots out its iconic Clydesdales, this time with a Labrador Retriever. Michelob Ultra targets both its middle-aged demographic and the growing soccer sector by taking Lionel Messi, Ted Lasso, and Dan Marino to something resembling South Beach. And, if Taylor Swift is America's sweetheart, Peyton Manning is America's non-threatening dollop of mayonnaise. Who better than Manning to lead the charge for Bud Light in a 60-second spot flanked by Post Malone, UFC's Dana White, and an eponymous genie. The theme seems clear. Anheuser-Busch, whose products have claimed 14 championships in USA Today's ad meter, measuring public opinion of Super Bowl spots, is getting back to basics. It's an important moment, says Kyle Norrington, Anheuser-Busch's chief commercial officer. It continues to get tougher as a marketer, but this is an amazing moment. People are seeing 10,000 pieces of communications every day, but Super Bowl's just different. The world is watching. This is an opportunity for us to lean in and get back to what we've been doing since 1975, which is great beer marketing, and control what they can control. We always listen. For decades, heck, Bud bottled its first beer in 1876. The Anheuser-Busch has been the oxygen of the United States beer scene. Its modern dominance came almost in lockstep with the NFL's rise as America's dominant entertainment vehicle. Bud Light's 1982 debut arrived just in time for the Super Bowl to take off as the country's secular holiday. By the end of the decade, the Bud Bowl added another commercial entry point to join legacy Bud and its Clydesdales in dominating the big game. By 2001, Bud Light was the top-selling beer in the U.S., yet it would relinquish that distinction in 2023. The brand somewhat unwittingly wandered into the battlefield of culture wars after transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney promoted a partnership with Bud Light. Never mind that the number of commemorative Mulvaney cans scarcely represented a drop in Bud Light's ocean of macro brew, it exceeded $5 billion in 2022 sales, nor was it indicative of a significant shift in marketing strategy. The right-wing flotilla attacked, with cannons both proverbial and literal blazing. Unlike other instances of aggrieved reactionary backlash, the effect went far beyond Kid Rock's courageous attack on a 12-pack. By July, Bud Light had ceded its number one spot domestically to Modelo, although analysts suggest that trend line was developing before 2023. The brand then faced more backlash when Mulvaney said the company did not adequately support her in the aftermath. By November, Anheuser-Busch announced Chief Marketing Officer Benoit Garbe would resign, with Carrington fully dedicated to marketing going forward. We always listen to our consumers, and what they've been telling us is, give us what we all love about your brands, says Carrington, of the path ahead after 2023. So, give us more football. We've reconnected with a partner that we started with many years ago with the UFC. Give us more great fight nights. We're listening, we're learning, and we're continuing to move forward. In that way, the Super Bowl, some 10 months after their controversy began, is fortuitously timed, says Charles R. Taylor, professor of marketing at Villanova University. It's a crucial moment because enough time has passed that the controversy has died down, says Taylor. I think people are now open to their message in a way that wouldn't have been the case much of last year. Regardless of one's political views, Bud Light really got a bad deal out of that. But when they lost market share leadership after all these years, I absolutely think it's a crucial year to start recovering and turn the consumer's attention to something else. Soccer, anyone? Football, the next frontier. It's no accident Messi and Jason Sudeikis of Ted Lasso are sprinkled into the Michelob Ultra spot. Soccer is about to further dominate the landscape, and Anheuser-Busch is plotting its attack. Michelob Ultra is the official beer of Copa America 24, to be contested in the U.S. in June and July. 1 year later, the FIFA Club World Cup will be played over a similar footprint. And that's all an appetizer for the 2026 World Cup, whose final is scheduled for New Jersey's MetLife Stadium. I call these the golden years of soccer in America, says Norrington. Really critical for us to land our connection. We're going to ensure that we make the absolute most of these next few years with soccer and Michelob Ultra. But first, the more familiar football. Las Vegas was deluged with Bud branding even before the 49ers and Chiefs touched down. Budweiser has purchased a significant chunk of display time on the still new Sphere as U2 gives way to the Clydesdales in a snow globe type display visible through most of the town. Lil Wayne and T-Pain will extol the virtues of Michelob Ultra and drop a few tracks Saturday at a top golf venue. Come Sunday, Anheuser-Busch reclaims its status as the number one alcohol sponsor for the big game. Analysis by Prakash Sangha for Special to USA Today. Apple's Vision Pro is a creator's dream come true. One can create their own world and be immersed in it. There are many innovative tools that the Vision Pro supports, but Adobe's Firefly, which gives the high-tech headset the power of generative AI, Gen AI, allows consumers to bring their imaginations to life. Firefly is a text-to-image creator popular across many platforms, including Apple Macs and iPads, now supported natively on Vision Pro. Imagine wearing Vision Pro and wanting to adorn your room with creative art to set your mood. Simply open the Firefly app and indicate what image you want to create, either through a voice prompt or by typing on the virtual keyboard. Maybe you like abstract art, pictures of nature, or even a funny flying cat. Whatever you want, you can have within seconds as Firefly creates images as unique as your imagination. It also generates four variations of the image to give you options. Create virtual spaces with Vision Pro and Adobe Firefly Gen AI. You didn't like what it created? Just give a new prompt. In no time, another set of four pictures will be ready. Or, if you want to modify what was already created, go back to the prompt and say or type your tweaks. Perhaps you have a theme in mind. If so, use the many options in the Firefly app to make it happen. You can even combine elements of all the images you created, again by returning to the prompt and letting Firefly and Vision Pro do the magic. The images are very high resolution, meaning they can be used in various ways once created. You can make them as big or as small as you want, plastering the entire wall of your virtual room with the picture, or making it a painting or photo on your desk. Because of Vision Pro's pinch-based control, editing and moving is a breeze. The images also can be shared with other apps in Vision Pro, with other devices, and with other people. For example, you can import the images into an attractive invite you are creating for your house party or college reunion, or send your flying cat picture to your friends using iMessage. They, in turn, can edit on their computer using apps like Photoshop or Vision Pro and send it back. If you are photographically inclined, you could use Pro Tools like Adobe Lightroom and take advantage of the large lifelike canvas and gesture-based controls of Vision Pro to edit and fine-tune the images. Because Lightroom is supported natively on Vision Pro, you can enjoy your photos on a large scale and relive your memories. Are the images safe to use? Adobe says it uses only its own content and license-free images to train Firefly Gen AI models. That means that the created images are free from any copyright or licensing issues. But more importantly, images will be marked as AI-generated to fight the menace of fake photos. Vent with local shelter for Valentine's Day. Put your ex's name on litter box for a donation. By Aaron Glenn for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Cincinnati. If you're not feeling the love this Valentine's Day, you have many options to vent your feelings via the animal kingdom. Animal shelters and zoos across the country are willing to name litter boxes, outdoor posts, feral cats, and Madagascar hissing cockroaches after ex-lovers in exchange for small donations. A $5 donation to the Animal Friends Humane Society in Hamilton, Ohio, means the shelter will name a litter box or outdoor sign after your ex. The shelter is accepting donations through February 13th and plans to post a video showcasing the names on Valentine's Day, February 14th. The Humane Society houses lost, abandoned, and mistreated animals. If that isn't harsh enough, the Humane Society of Warren County in Front Royal, Virginia, will name a feral cat for your ex before neutering them. Donors can participate by sending an email to info@humanesocietywarrencounty.org with the name after donating. The organization said it was able to trap, neuter, and release 368 cats in 2023. The fundraiser has raised over $3,000 through Facebook so far. The San Antonio Zoo in Texas holds an annual Cry Me a Cockroach fundraiser for Valentine's Day. Donors can symbolically name a cockroach, rat, or vegetable after an ex at the zoo, and the zoo will feed it to an animal. A $5 donation gets you a symbolic vegetable. It's $10 for a cockroach and $25 for a rodent. The zoo sends a digital Valentine's Day card to the donors. The El Paso Zoo in Texas has a similar fundraiser called Quit Bugging Me, with the caveat that the animals can only eat so many cockroaches, but all the names the zoo receives will be used to decorate the animals' exhibits. How the bipartisan border deal fell apart in Congress. Biden is set to use episode as weapon in a campaign. By Colleen Long, Zeke Miller, and Sung Min Kim for the Associated Press. Dateline, Washington. how it began. President Joe Biden was urgently seeking more money from Congress to aid Ukraine and Israel. He took a gamble by seizing on GOP demands to simultaneously address one of his biggest political liabilities, illegal migration at the U.S.-Mexico border. How it ended, Biden came close to succeeding before it all fell apart spectacularly. Now the president is trying to make the best of it after a major congressional deal was scuttled once Republican frontrunner Donald Trump got involved. And Biden is intent on showing that the former president and his Make America Great Again Republican acolytes in Congress aren't really interested in solutions. In between, there is a story of a president willing to anger his own party's activist class in an election year, rare hope for a bipartisan progress on one of the third rails of American politics, and a sudden, stunning collapse publicly engineered by Trump that Biden's team now sees as a political gift. This account of Biden's big gamble is based on interviews with more than a dozen White House aides, lawmakers, Biden administration officials, and congressional aides, some of whom spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity to discuss the back and forth over the collapsed deal and what happens next. The bipartisan legislative deal announced Sunday evening was the culmination of more than 4 months of negotiations that started with Senate Democrats and Republicans and later included top Biden aides and cabinet officials. It came after Republicans, led by then-House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, backed a temporary spending deal that kept the government operating but delivered no new funding for Ukraine. McCarthy had insisted to the White House that any effort to continue U.S. funding for Ukraine needed to be linked to significant steps to secure the U.S.-Mexico border, long a GOP priority. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Biden's most valuable Republican ally when it came to Ukraine aid, also began appealing to senior administration officials for the spending measure to include border provisions. Inside the White House, there was no shortage of grumbling that Republicans were insisting on unrelated policy changes and holding up badly needed money for the Ukrainian armed forces. But Biden and his advisors saw potential upside as well. At a time when the president's handling of immigration was one of his biggest political vulnerabilities, and there were chaotic scenes at the border and in major Democraticon cities where migrants were sleeping in police station foyers, bus stations, and hotels. Before long, McCarthy was ousted, and it took weeks to elect a replacement. New House Speaker Mike Johnson, elected October 25th, made clear that he, too, wanted to pair border security with any new Ukraine funding. While the House was in disarray, a group of bipartisan senators quietly got to work. The White House kept its distance until senior officials felt it was the right time to get directly involved. But there was also pressure from Republicans for them to join the talks. GOP lawmakers insisted it was necessary for Biden to expend some political capital and embrace a border compromise that could be unpopular with parts of his own party. On December 12th, the White House dispatched senior officials, including Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, to join the negotiations. The idea was to underscore Biden's seriousness about cutting a deal with Republicans. Immediately after the Republicans demanded that the administration show up, they showed up, said Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, one of the negotiators. Difficult negotiations stretched into 2024. But there were signs of progress, and Biden was optimistic, so much so that on January 18th, he said he didn't think there were any sticking points left. In an effort to push the bill forward, Biden even adopted Trump's own language, saying he'd shut down the border if given the power, a stunning admission from a Democrat that was quickly and loudly condemned by activists in his own party. The deal that emerged would have overhauled the asylum system to provide faster and tougher immigration enforcement, as well as given presidents new powers to immediately expel migrants if authorities became overwhelmed with the number of people applying for asylum. It also would have added $20 billion in funding, a huge influx of cash. It was never entirely clear what the White House strategy was to advance the border compromise in the House should it make it out of the Senate. Johnson repeatedly voiced resistance to how the agreement was shaping up. Asked why the administration was choosing to hash out a deal with the Senate and not the House, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre regularly pointed out that House Republicans left for the holidays in mid-December while talks were ongoing. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, a Republican from Alabama, said it was a mistake that the White House didn't negotiate with House Republicans directly, but that even so, if the deal actually sealed the border, it could have sailed through. Enter the former president. He had been occupied for weeks by a defamation trial in New York City and fending off GOP challenges from Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley in Iowa and New Hampshire. At a rally in Nevada on January 27th, after solidifying his position as the far and away GOP frontrunner, he said his piece, "As the leader of our party, there is zero chance I will support this horrible open borders betrayal of America. I'll fight it all the way." A lot of the senators are trying to say respectfully that they're blaming it on me, Trump added, followed by the 10 words that made Biden aides light up. I say, that's okay. Please blame it on me. Please. By the time the text of the bill was released last Sunday, the pileup of Republicans willing to block it already appeared insurmountable. GOP lawmakers claim Biden already could fix the situation at the border with existing authority. But some in Congress publicly echoed Trump in saying they didn't want to give Biden a political win on an issue that they see as key to their 2024 hopes. With that, the deal that the White House and many in the Senate thought would pass was headed for failure. The rapid collapse of Republican backing for the border compromise stunned even those who worked most closely on the agreement. Murphy said that even as late as Sunday, he had counted 20 to 25 GOP senators as potential votes in favor of the deal. To Biden aides, it was public validation of the argument the president had been making about Trump and his allies, that they had their own interests at heart, not the country's. Even in failure, the bipartisan agreement in principle was the closest Washington has come to significant revision to border policy in two decades. It's far from assured that Biden's efforts to pin the blame on Trump will stick. His GOP critics will no doubt continue their relentless efforts to saddle the current Oval Office occupant with the country's immigration woes. Biden, though, has his plan. Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends. Well, I can see by the clock on the wall, it is time to close for the day. So this is Michael Bressler signing off for now.